Well, jockey Ramon Dominguez, as you heard in that clip, an integral part of Traverse Stakes history with that dead heat finish in the 2012 running of the race, and he's with us now here on HRRN. Good morning, my friend. Happy Traverse Day.
Thank you so much, Matt. Good morning.
What do you remember about that day in 2012?
Remember so much. Coming to the wire, I wasn't sure if I was going to get there. And as we passed the wire, there was so much separation between me and Golden Ticket that it was very difficult to tell who got there first or if any of us got there first, because usually if you're close together as a jockey, especially if you're familiarized with the track, you know where the wire is, and just out of the corner of your eye, you can tell who got there. So I look over and I said to David Cohen, who wrote Golden Ticket, who do you think got it? And he said, I don't know. So as we're coming back, of course, it seems like forever for the race to be official. At that point, I was in my mind already settling for the heat. I said, you know what? If I didn't get up, I hope at least it was at the heat. And sure enough, it was at the heat.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. We were here broadcasting that race, and you were coming on the outside, and like you said, you didn't know if you were going to get up, and it was so close at the line.
It was very close.
Obviously.
But, very, very cool. And, you know, I know the fans always like to know, they ask this question a lot, do the jockeys talk during a race, you know, and I tell them that they do sometimes, and they're always amazed by that. How can they ride the horses and talk? I said, well, you drive a car and talk, right? But a finish like that, I mean, it's really cool that you guys both put out the best effort that you could, and you get to share it. I know we talked to Kenny McPeak a few weeks ago, and he was talking about that race, and he said he was happy that Kieran won, and he won. They're both from Lexington. So it was a good dead heat because everybody was friendly. Everybody wanted to win, and everybody got their picture taken, which was kind of cool.
What's your feeling afterwards, Ramon, when you dead heat in a big race like the Travers? Are you like, man, I'm so disappointed, or are you like, cool, we got the win? What's it like?
Absolutely, it was the second one. I was so glad because I felt like, of course, I won as well, and it was a shared victory. But either way, it is a win, and it was funny because afterwards there were friends coming to me or people that I knew, or sometimes even fans saying, oh, gosh, almost you won it. I'm like thinking, no, we won it. I mean, we almost lost it, too, I mean, if you really want to think about it. But it was a great day, and I don't feel like it was a defeat by any means. I wouldn't change anything. It was a victorious day.
Yes. And the canoe. You got the canoe painted both sets of colors. First time in history.
Yeah. That was actually our Christmas cards. That year, my wife and I brought our kids, got in the canoe, and got our pictures taken, and those were our Christmas cards.
You got in the canoe out here in the infield?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, it's good to be Ramon Dominguez, isn't it?
Actually, it wasn't even me. We just went in there, pulled the rope, and brought the canoe and got in there. So.
Well, Anthony Bonomo, one of the owners with Brooklyn Boys, involved with Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, said that if he wins the Travers today, he's already gotten clearance from the security to go jump into the pond. He said he's going to start a new tradition. He will literally go run across the turf course, and he will jump into the infield pond. Jude is supposed to go with him.
I have to
he's
go with him.
He's going to take him with him. And
so if you see a fat guy in his underwear running across the grass, you'll know who it is.
But almost as heck, they do it at golf tournaments. Why not here for the Travers?
That would be more entertaining than the race itself.
It certainly would. Speaking of entertaining, yesterday I was intrigued to watch the red jacket ceremony because yesterday, Ramon, you received yet another honor here in Saratoga. Last year you were inducted into the Hall of Fame across the street, and yesterday you received that red jacket, meaning you're a member of the Walk of Fame here at Saratoga, and you joined fellow Hall of Fame jockeys Jerry Bailey and Angel Cordero Jr. Johnny Velasquez, I believe, is also a member of that Walk of Fame. Pretty special moment for you. That was wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
What stood out to you about that ceremony yesterday?
So much. Everything. It was wonderful. When I was watching the video of that they prepared with my background in some of my races early in my career, I had to really hold back the tears, and I didn't want to cry. And now, like, my family was asking me today, how come you didn't cry? And I said, no, because it would be okay if I just cry and it's over, but it would have been long trying to compose myself. So I said, this is not the time to do that. But it was a wonderful time, wonderful memories. I love how the public reacted and the ovation they gave me. It was just, everything was awesome about it.
And so many great memories for you here at Saratoga. One thing they talked about in that video presentation yesterday that you referred to was the fact that you are the only jockey in history to have won 6 races on a single card twice here at Saratoga. Pretty cool.
That was really incredible when I look back, because it is so, everything is so evenly matched, all the races, and no one, regardless of looking at the paper and looking at the odds, can foresee somebody winning 3, 4, let alone 6 races. So I felt extremely thankful and grateful and blessed to have won it the first time, and the second time it's like, really, is this happening? So, and the second time, again, the public just walking from the time I got off the horse to the jockey's room, just following me, and it was beautiful because you can tell that it's far and beyond just betting $2 on my horse. It was that connection and just celebrating the moment.
Is there such a thing as being in the zone for a jockey when you have a day like that and you just feel like there's no way I can lose every time you get a leg up?
100%, and we don't have enough time to talk about that. That's fascinating to me. I'll tell you briefly. It's something that I personally study while riding, because years ago I was riding at Delaware Park and I was winning at a very high level. Of course, riding good horses, but still the clarity and the confidence and the level of belief that I had, it was so, so high that I made a conscious decision to stop in the midst of all these wins and say, what is it, Ramon, that is happening right now that makes you win at this rate, that you see things? And I explained this before, which is really the best way I can describe that. When you are handicapping while being in the zone, it's not if I make the lead, but when I make the lead. Do I make it at the quarter pole? Do I make it at the eighth pole? Do I take this horse a little far back, or do I go and let him be forwardly placed? So it's just you in your mind, you can see it. You know how it's going to happen. And one of the things that I miss the most about riding is while being in the zone, if you are right behind the horses, what they call cover up, and just surrounded by horses, you just know that you're going to get through, and there is no better feeling than that. And I'm sure to the spectator, somebody watching from the grandstand, some of these times it seems like impossible. Wow, this guy is just not going to get through, but you just know that you're going to get through. Now, what is interesting about this is that when you take the same scenario with the opposite mindset, and you are going through a slump, and there might be an opening in front, and for a half a second you say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there on time. And sure enough, almost every time it close up, and you don't win the race. So, but being in the zone is incredible, because there are times when it almost seems like things are developing at a slow motion. You just can't see it that far ahead.
Is that like a visualization, like golfers say they visualize the shot that they're going to make, and that helps them make that shot? When you're handicapping, do you do that? You visualize the race in your head and you kind of know where you're supposed to be at every pole, kind of thing?
Yes and no. Yes, that is correct. That is a part of it, but it's not a conscious decision. It's not like you say, wow, you know what, I'm going to visualize this. And yeah, you can quote unquote try to do that. But if you're not in the zone, it's something that is just happening beyond your control at times. It's just that you just know that things are going to happen, and sure enough, they will happen. But again, when you're going through a slump, you try to make it happen, and it's probably the worst thing that you can do, because you're forcing it. You want the horse to be where you think that he should be versus allowing the horse to be where he needs to be and being present. So it's sometimes hard to explain, but I'm sure that you kind of get the keys of how it happens.
Yeah, Deepak Chopra calls that the law of least effort. Like, every time you try to do something, it's not going to work out, but if you just let it happen, let it come to you, you can get that done. Is that kind of...
That is correct. And you know what? It's something that you notice, like, it's not surprising that somebody will win 3 races and then win the 4th one. At that point, there is, as you say, no resistance, because you are not attached at all to the outcome. You already had a great day. You won three races, and know that you're not going to try with this horse, but because there is no resistance, because you are not trying that hard to win, because your day was already made, and this is sort of gravy, or this is icing on the cake. You are there just connected with your horse, allowing things to develop the way they should, and then before you know, you say, okay, yes, and I'm going to win this race. And at times when I will be going through a slump, I will actually try to just be conscious about allowing the horse to be maybe a little farther back than he needed to be, or that I thought he needed to be, because it is so tempting to try to compensate and say, you know what, I haven't won a race in 3-5 days a week, and let me just make him be in a position where I can win. And again, you're just forcing the issue versus allowing it to naturally flow.
Fascinating comments from Ramon Dominguez, Hall of Famer, joining us here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Ramon, I'm going to put you on the spot here just a little bit. I don't know how much time you spent looking through this year's Travers Field. 12 horses going to go later today. If you were coming out of retirement this afternoon and you had to pick one horse that you wanted your agent to get you on in the Travers, who's the horse you want to ride?
Well, I took a look at the race, and of course, right away realized that this is one of the most evenly matched races. And I asked the same question to myself, and if I had to choose a horse, quite honestly, I think that I will leave it as I usually did, in the hands of my agent, at least, especially in this case, because...
Come on, don't be all politically correct.
No, I'm not. Honestly, if I had a horse, just like I like Always Dreaming for the Derby and the Preakness, I would tell you Always Dreaming. But here you can make a case for any and pretty much every one of them. And a fascinating fact that they say that from since 82, we haven't had the Triple Crown winners all in this race. So it's definitely an amazing race, and I can't choose just one.
Yeah, and none of the Triple Crown winners were victorious that year in 82. That victory went to Runaway Groom, the Canadian, who came in, and the gray stormed home in the center of the track to get the victory that day over Aloma's Ruler, I believe, was second in that one. So pretty fascinating stuff. You know, Ramon, we're going to let you go here momentarily. Before we do, you had another big moment here that stands out to me, considering we're talking about Travers Day and some of the greatest stakes. The Sword Dancer is going to be run right before the Travers. One of your favorite horses, Better Talk Now, got the victory in that race back in 1997. That had to be a special moment, too.
Very much so. That was around the time that I was starting to get a little more recognition and starting to ride faster horses. And it was a wonderful day for me to win not only the Sword Dancer, a great one, on Better Talk Now, who we had such a great relationship. We had accomplished already quite a few things, but then, I mean, the best was yet to come. And doing it for Grand Motion, who was one of my biggest supporters, definitely the one guy that started putting me on horses of that caliber before anyone else. So it was a very sweet day for me.
There's nobody better. He's Ramon Dominguez. Like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. With that said, Ramon, what is it about this game, this sport, that has always made you embrace the race?
The race, horse racing, especially when you come to Saratoga, and I know you're asking me about the industry, but of course I have to talk about Saratoga because it is a reflection of how amazing this industry, this sport is. When you come here, for those who are listening and haven't had the opportunity to come to Saratoga yet, it's something that I have never experienced before, and it's the way racing should be, and hopefully it will be with the efforts that everyone is putting, because it is a family-oriented business. You come and enjoy the best horses, the best jockeys, the best trainers, just racing at its best. And everything from, of course, preparing the horse on a daily basis and the efforts that the groom puts. So it is a well-oiled machine. To get the horses to the race and, of course, to watch them just for a couple of minutes is rewarding when you see the horse performing well. But to me, the most special thing is the preparation, the practice to get there, because that is where winning and losing takes place, not really at the track most of the time.
Yeah, for us, one of the most special things is getting to visit with people like you. Ramon, appreciate the time this morning, and enjoy your Traverse Stakes Day, my friend, and keep up all the great work for racing.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mike, and have a wonderful day, too.